Did you hear? The Open Source and Finance Forum New York schedule is up. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Grizz Griswold of Finos. Hope you're doing well. We have the Open Source and Finance Forum schedule is alive, and the Finos newsletter is alive as well. So this is a Finos debrief for August 9th, 2023. We have a lot to pack in, so let's cue the music. Is everybody in? All right, cool. So, the Open Source and Finance Forum New York schedule is up. And in this debrief session, we're going to talk about some happenings in the past 6 weeks at the foundation, but also wanted to give you a heads up and maybe a little preview into some of the sessions that you'll see in New York on November 1st for OSFF. But this event wouldn't be possible without our sponsors. Special thank you to leader sponsor Databricks, where you can unify all your data, analytics, and AI on one platform. Our contributor and community sponsors, Adaptive Aaron, Discover, FinOps Foundation, Intercluster, Men.io, the Open Mainframe Project, the OpenJS Foundation, OpenLogic by Perforce, Orcas, Red Hat, Sonatype, and Tidelift. Did I ever tell you that the first job I ever had was as a 5-year-old for WBEU Radio in Beaufort, South Carolina, where I did radio commercials? So now I'm starting to see patterns in my life. Anyway, shall we actually get into it? Today, we are fresh on the heels of the all-community call that happened earlier this morning. James McLeod headed everything up, and we also had a few maintainers from our different projects and SIGs talk. That video should be online within the next week. We will let you know. But we do have other call to actions for you right now. Again, the Open Source and Finance Forum schedule is live. Please register now. If you are a member, you have free passes. Platinum members of Finos get unlimited passes, and I will tell you that we saw one of our Platinum members really blow it out of the park, so kudos to them. I will also say that through the end of this week, and this is the week now, August 9th through August 11th, this is your last chance to complete the State of Open Source and Financial Services survey. It'll be going on for another 2.5 days. This is vitally important to our community on the banking side, the financial services institution side. That is incredible information that we get from those type of members and actually non-members as well, that helps inform the industry of where open source is going within financial services. And, you know, I mean, that may sound a little bit canned, but what I think would be important here is if you work at a bank and you're trying to justify your spend for this upcoming year on how to put more full-time employees and more resources into working on open source projects, this is an incredible resource to not only add your information to, but then get back information from the financial services community to figure out how your peers are consuming and contributing back to open source as well. So again, if you have the opportunity, I will put a link to the survey in the show notes. It is also on our website. And, you know, if you do not have the opportunity to do the survey, the results will be coming out. I'll give you a heads up at OSFF. But the current survey from 2022 is live. You can download it. You can find out more about what your peers are doing this past year and look forward to the next one coming up. We also wanted to let you know the Common Cloud Control project is live. I did a podcast on this last week. I'll refer back to that. And also, it is in our newsletter as well. Our newsletter's live. Everything's live. Not Memorex. You get that? Okay. And as far as the Common Cloud Control Project, if you did not catch it, we recently announced the formation of the Common Cloud Controls Project. It's a collaboration initially with Citi and is supported by more than 20 Finos member firms. The project aims to establish consistent controls for compliant public cloud deployments in financial services sector. There is a landing page and a form that if you'd like to get involved, and if you're a member, you actually have the ability to work on this project for the next few months while it's being formed, and then it'll be put out into the wild, again, pretty close to a conference near you in a few months. And those who are not Finos members yet, we encourage you to consider applying for membership. There will be information on that landing page as well. We also have a press release that talks about why the Common Cloud Controls Project is important. Let's call it CCC for right now. And, you know, it basically goes back to the ability for regulators to understand that banks are really taking control and banks are already kind of on the hook for the security and the compliance of the cloud as data goes from the bank to the cloud service providers and then back. And so security has to be utmost, compliance has to be utmost, and this is a standards project that our community is working on, our members are working on right now to make sure that that all the attack vectors that are out there, all of the, you know, points of weakness that are along, you know, these corridors, basically, where data goes up and down, you know, can be protected. And also, you know, there's kind of a taxonomy and ontology that goes on as well. I know I said ontology incorrectly. Taxonomy, ontology, that if there is commonality, basically, in the definition of the words that are used between the banks and all of the cloud service providers, then there's going to be an easier way to make sure that there is a standard that a bank can comply to so that a regulator can tell, hey, you know, this is what should be happening, and everybody is doing what they should be happening. Again, this is not competing on IP. This is something that, you know, just needs to be done by all banks, all cloud service providers, because it's part of regulation. So this is an opportunity for you to get involved and to really, you know, help drive that forward. So next up on our announcements, the CDM is available in Python. The common domain model is now accessible in Python thanks to the collaborative efforts of Cloud Risk, FT Advisory, and Trade Header teams. Actually, I think one of the folks from Trade Header is actually going to be doing a talk at OSFF. This amount around CDM. How about that? This milestone opens up a world of opportunities to a new community of developers looking to leverage CDM in their projects. And to learn more, we have a blog post by ISDA's Ian Sloan. So check that out. FTC3 news. The FTC project is thriving, and we're eager to boost engagement even further. We're currently seeking volunteers to participate as beta testers for FTC3 and open source readiness certification. Your feedback will help us refine and improve the standard. If you're interested, please complete the form that I'll put in the show notes, and it's also in our newsletter, or reach out to our senior technical architect, Rob Moffitt, and that's rob.moffitt@finos.org. Moffitt is M-O-F-F-A-T. We're also seeking new maintainers for FTC3 identity and language integrations. So if you have any expertise in that and would like to contribute to the project, please contact us at fdc3@finos.org. Also within the newsletter, there are some recent highlights, and one of them is a blog post by Nick Kolba of Connectify. It's called Thinking with Intent, and it's around FTC3. Plus, we have a couple of articles that were done around the CCC, the Common Cloud Controls Project, when it was announced on July 27th. And the first one is from CIO Dive. It's FinOps moves to rationalize financial industry cloud controls. Then the next one from The Stack, it's Citi CTO spearheads a new pan-industry common cloud controls project at FinOps. And those are more than just the press release, you know, redone. Basically, those were actually interviews. I think interview with CIO Dive, and The Stack went into a little bit more. And then I'm going to mess this up. L'Imagit, Common Cloud Control Project French coverage. Let's see what that actual article was called. En français, it's Cloud Public et Services Financiers. I'm really butchering this and I apologize. La Finos Imagine una Pierre de Rosetta. Reglementaire. Okay, my wife would probably just kill me now because she actually knows French and I don't. But the one thing that I thought was interesting in this particular article that I cannot read French, but I can use Google Translate, is that not only did they talk about the information that we did within our press release and you know, talk about the Common Cloud Controls project, but they also brought in some perspective from Capgemini, who is not a FinOps member. So interesting to get that perspective as well. Not yet. Right, Capgemini. Anyway, also we have another article that's on FTC3. It's by Luxoff, and it's a new era of seamless integration with Luxoff. We have FTC3 news around desktop agent bridging, FTC3 2.1, and success stories. We've got a couple of podcasts that I did around the Common Cloud CCC project. The debrief podcast from last month, and also another FTC3 update on identity and threat modeling, and is a call for help. The Open Source Readiness SIG has also put out blog posts around metrics, mailing list, and body of knowledge. The Open Source Contribution in Finance course and COSD exam. Intersource licensing and Citi's open source policy, and what's in the pipeline and what's coming up. So we also have a London Open House and member meeting recap that if you missed the London Open House and member meeting in June, there's a really good recap of what happened. And I think I said this before in the podcast recap, we had some incredible roundtables at the member meeting that were, you know, member only. And I mean, this CCC project was one of the things that was proposed in there and brought forth into the public, and then, you know, have spun out into a, you know, what could be potentially a very large project for FinOps and for the financial services and cloud communities. But also we had roundtables around AI, around payments, around other topics as well, that what I see is it continues to push, you know, everything forward in open source and financial services, but along specific lines that, you know, maybe they're part of our normal work streams and projects, but, you know, we're actually seeing it push more and more as to, you know, what else within this horizontal financial services that we work on within, you know, the open source side. So definitely look at the member meeting recap. And we have a couple events coming up. Obviously, we just had the all community call. Open Source Summit Europe, September 19th and 20th. Join us at the Open Source Summit Europe held in Bilbao, Spain, hosted by the Linux Foundation. This event offers engaging sessions on innovations and the future of open source technology and much more. I know that part of our team, mostly the European and UK teams, will be there. So make sure you register now. And then let's get into the Open Source and Finance Forum, if you've got a little bit of time. I'd love to take you through some of the schedule, and since our team were the ones that worked through all of the talks that came in, and there are a lot of talks and a lot of great talks. I wanted to kind of clue you in into some of the tracks. So the first track that I'll talk about is the open source finance case studies track. So we'll be doing track highlights, speaker highlights, and talk highlights over the next couple of months, and actually interviewing some of the speakers as well. But I wanted to, again, look at these six talks in this track and just kind of go through some of the thinking of it. When we started out 6 years ago, there were, I think I've said it before many times, financial services 6 years ago was where the rest of the tech industry was about 15 years ago. And there was a lot of rah-rah-rah open source. Well, last year, we actually started to see a large number. I think that at one point we counted 11 to 13 OSPOs, open source program offices, opening up not only in our member banks, but also non-member banks as well that we're tracking. And, with... That wouldn't have been possible 6 years ago. The contribution policies of banks, honestly, were very far behind because this is such a regulated industry. And if you're in the industry, you know this to be true, that, sometimes it's hard just getting out, a tweet, so that it is compliant not only with your comms team, but also, making sure that it you don't say the wrong things because you don't want to be... slapped on the hand or worse from regulators because you've said the wrong things. So then go to this year after a year of all these OSPOs being built and, which are built on the backs of many years of working through contribution policies and licensing to figure out how this actually, how not only consuming open source, but contributing back to open source not only benefits this industry and thus your customers, in the bottom line, but also how do you make it so that your talent that work for you can actually work on projects that they can show their work and they can also get feedback that may be outside of their company as well, legally, safely, securely. And so, that brings you to the point of, maybe being at an OSPO level. But then, case studies, I think, are one of the most important things to learn from our peers, no matter what industry we're in. You want to know how your peers are doing it. If you are at a bank and there is a bank that, is telling you, here's how we built our open source program office. Here's how I built our contribution policies. Here are the things that we do strategically in open source in order to, benefit our company, benefit our customers, and benefit our developers and technologists and anybody else that's working on these open source projects that make our software and our systems better. And so, within this open source and finance case studies track, we have American Express, Goldman Sachs, Lloyds Banking Group, Fidelity Investments, and Citi, actually talking about how they do things, how they scaled, how they've gotten to where they've gotten. Again, if these are your peers, then you probably should understand how they're doing things because, it may benefit you working at your bank to understand here's a way to do it. And so if you're trying to build the case for building an open source program office, or even if you're trying to build the case of why your talent should be working on open source projects because it benefits your company and it benefits, the rest of the industry as well. But if you're trying to build that case, then go to these case studies. All right. If you are a vendor, go to these case studies to understand how your customers or potential customers are doing things so that you can figure out, how to help them get to where they want to be. They're telling you, exactly in this track how to do that. I would also say that one of our newer members, Leading Point, also has a case study on Accelerate Technology and Decision-Making and Transformation Program Multifold, making a business case for Waltz in your organization. Waltz is one of our longstanding projects that was contributed by Deutsche Bank. So it fits a little bit in there, but again, five of the talks in this track are from banks or buy-side firms. This is one that I'd pay attention to. And then piggybacking, is that right? A little bit to that. We also have kind of a open source readiness how-to. We've got a couple of sessions on that. And the first one is from Brittany Istinez. Brittany, I'm sorry. From Fannie Mae, and Kara Delia from Red Hat, is Learned Helplessness on OSSF, OSS, not OSFF, Learned Helplessness on and OSS, How to Avoid This Through Bridging the Gap Between Strategy, Community, and Technical Culture. And Brittany was actually on the all-community call today, and I kind of surprised her at the end when we were going through Q&A, and we had a lull in the conversation, and I asked her, I congratulated her on becoming a speaker for OSFF, and asked her, you know, what this talk was about. And she said that she used to be a teacher in, I believe, in Philadelphia, and learned helplessness was something that they dealt with within, you know, the classroom. And so she wanted to take the learning and the teaching that she got out of the classroom and bring it into this particular industry, open source within financial services, and if you don't know what learned helplessness is, the psychiatric version of it is a condition where a person has a sense of powerlessness arising from either traumatic event or persistent failure to succeed. It is thought to be one of the underlying causes of depression. Well, guess what? Just like roadblocks that are in your personal life, there are also roadblocks that are in the way of technical culture space as well. You know, one of these is being that technologists may not know how to access their dependencies or resolve vulnerabilities. And if you're not familiar with open source software, it can slow down innovation. So this talk is designed to show enterprises how to avoid this slowdown through building strong open source strategy and leverage special interest groups, SIGs, and they break down personas, maturity models, solutions, and direct impact examples, and how to do this work. And that is all integrated in with the open source readiness SIG here at Finos. So thank you to Brittany and Kara for proposing this talk, and very excited to hear it. We also have from GitHub, Improving Contribution Experience from Regulated Industries. And we have from Citi, How to Prevent Data Loss When Contributing Code to Open Source. And that is based off of the Git proxy project that Citi's been working on through Finos as well. And obviously other people have been working on it as well. And let's kind of move into from open source readiness on the how-tos to open source readiness in the security side. And we have Brian Fox, who's the CTO and one of the founders of Sonatype, is going to be talking on open source in the new era of software liability. We're going to have Rice Arkins from Mend.io, who's talking on best practices in open source risk management. And we're going to have Zeal Somani and Anna Wallace from Okta on the harmonization of SBOMs and its continuous monitoring. And then moving to regulation innovation, we will have two talks on the CDM. The first one will be from Vernon Alden Smith from ISDA. It's the CDM collateral representation. And then, like I said, also we'll have the, I believe he may be the CEO of TradeHeader, talk about the initial margin reporting using CDM. And then this one I thought was kind of interesting, just because I know Kafka is pretty big out there, but this is Anna McDonald from Confluent, and it's enabling real-time regulatory compliance with Kafka streams and more fear. And again, I thought that it was interesting that, you know, Confluent is not a member yet, Anna. Confluent is not a member, but they're using one of our projects, More Fear, in what they're doing, and they're building on top of it, which is exactly what we're looking to do with this industry and with our open source projects. So that's great. Antoine Amend from Databricks, accelerating regulatory compliance with generative AI. And then Anantha Sharma and Sandeep Kumar from Synchron. Synchron has been an incredible supporter of our meetups in New York and also in London. So I'm so happy that they had a talk that was submitted and approved. But this is an approach to open regulation readiness assessment. And then finally, from Discover, from Lise Noble, if you remember back in May, we did two different hackathons. One was in person with BMO, and the other one was virtual with Discover and AXA. And one of the things that came out of the one with Discover and AXA was basically code that could be used for accessibility, front-end code, you know, that is open source. And so that is one of the things that that Lise will be talking about. But there's, if you don't know, and I've heard this now from a couple of different companies, that you know, accessibility is in financial services is, you know, being regulated, has been regulated, but is becoming, you know, very strong in regulation, and as it should. You know, we started in the web world, we started talking about accessibility, I believe, 10 years ago, when, you know, I was working for a web design company. And and listen, accessibility is not always the easiest thing to work through. And definitely in open source, I have not seen maybe enough of that as well. And, you know, then layer on financial services. So the work that Discover has been doing around this, and then they proposed it as one of their case studies, and then they had, you know, 100 people working on that project to bring it further into light and you know, use it for different things, that will be something that will be contributed into FinOS Labs. So so you take all that and you take it into the regulatory sense that if you are not if you are in financial services and not addressing accessibility, you know, especially within you know, your online components and your front end systems. And listen, a lot of the projects within FinOS have not been very front end loaded. I think, you know, maybe Perspective, maybe a little bit of, you know, FTC3, but for the most part, you know, they've been either DevOps systems or kind of maybe in the background or middleware, I guess. But, you know, on the front end side, that this is something that, you know, you can actually use in order to, you know, help your route to better accessibility through your financial services apps. So incredibly happy to see this one come in as well. So cloud operations, we may or may not have something going on around the new CCC project, but there are some other things, and this is something that we probably have not brought in enough to the foundation before into OSFF. So we are going to have talks from Francesco Beltramini from Control Plane and Abdullah Garcia from JP Morgan around cloud native security operations from observability to response. We'll also have Eddie Knight from Sonatype talking about the latest updates from cloud compliance and controls, but also CFI project, where he's a maintainer there. Lee Faust from GitLab is doing open application delivery with regulator compliant infrastructure. And Eric Rosenbaum and Marius Bogovici, sorry, Marius, from Red Hat are doing where the bleep is my app doing? What the bleep is my app doing? Sorry, can't read today, apparently. open source observability, and then, and it is cloud related as well. And then you notice I don't take out too much from these podcasts, because sometimes it's just fun messing up. Katarzyna Materka, from Seven Bulls. Katarzyna spoke last year, I believe, in London, about multi-cloud deployments, but this year she's speaking on the importance of cloud continuum and AI and in AI best. Okay, one more time. On the importance of cloud continuum in AI-based investments. So glad to see her coming over, I believe, from Poland, I believe. So that is the cloud operations track. And then we move on to hot topics in emerging tech. I'm going to tell you that there are two speakers within this Hot Topics in Emerging Tech who were actually keynotes at All Things Open last year, who's they're a friend of the program, a friend of Finos, and a friend of me. Angie Jones, who's from TBD, and I had to look this up, but TBD is a business unit block of, a business unit of Block. And if you didn't know, Block does Cash App and Square. And Angie's talk is Web 5, an open source trust layer for web. Angie is a developer or the global head of developer relations for TBD. And let me read you this because we're in identity, basically. And so I thought that this talk was interesting. And I also think that Angie's interesting, too. So, today's account model on the web gives tech companies a huge amount of access to users' data and identities. TBD is building Web5, an open source platform that empowers developers to build apps where people truly own their data and identities, can unlock access to financial services and regain privacy and control over today's status quo. In this talk, Angie will discuss this context, the WC3 standards that Web5 is being built on, decentralized identifiers, verifiable credentials, and decentralized web nodes. And give a tech preview that breaks down the components of these standards and will show developers how they can get involved. So, outside of what Finos normally does or has been doing, but thought it was very interesting to bring Angie in to talk about this. And then also one of the keynote speakers last year from All Things Open, who, again, they're talking about different things this year, by the way, folks. But Brian Douglas, who's a friend, he started OpenSauced. OpenSauce.pizza is the website, but Brian was at GitHub for a long time, and really really got into metrics, and really felt that he was passionate about that, and we were talking about this. Oh boy, that was like April of this year, He was so passionate about it that he decided, I'm just going to build a company on it. And so Brian's talk is data-driven decisions, uncovering the key metrics shaping success in open source software. So finding success in open source can be challenging because success is not well defined. Having clear understanding of the key metrics to measure and optimize is essential to project success, but not always obvious where to track. This talk will explore the lesser discussed metrics that all open source projects should be tracking, how other contributors return, contributors return, and even the ratio employee to community contributions in the most popular projects on GitHub. We'll also delve into contributor metrics such as spam rates, pull request velocity, and SLAs. With this tour into insights into the less obvious metrics that matter, open source project maintainers will be better equipped to work smarter towards success, whatever that means to them, and make data-informed decisions about the future of their projects. So listen, that is, that's a hard thing to track, to be honest. And I've seen a bunch of companies try to do it, and different foundations as well. So, you know, it's interesting that he's doing this, but you know, we wanted him to speak, to kind of shed light on, you know, some of the things that would, back to the, you know, listening to the different banks present on how they have built their open source program offices, that this is a great talk that, you know, these are things that you should be paying attention to, because this helps in the talent aspect. This helps in the ROI aspect as well. So if you can better measure, then you can better report, then you can better justify what you're doing on a daily basis within open source and financial services. Okay. Also, a friend, Saren Khalife from GitHub, will be talking about accelerating your SDLC with GitHub Copilot. So we're in the AI world. Olivier Pompinet, who's at Symfony for a long time and now is the head of developer relations, I believe, at Orcas, who is a new Finos member, is going to be talking about implementing resilient financial workflows using Netflix Conductor. And when he went through with me what Netflix Conductor was doing, it totally fits in actually to the interoperability space. So this is one to definitely take notice of. You know, there may be a hackathon on this in the future, but if I understand it correctly, and Olivier, correct me, that using Netflix Conductor is I liken it to kind of in WordPress using webhooks, or in web development using webhooks. It's the interoperability between, you know, maybe an open source project that might be pretty voluminous. And you're just trying to figure out how do I use the pieces of it, or how do I use the entire thing, when sometimes it might be, you know, large and not easily integratable, you know, totally into what you're doing. And the way they understand Netflix Conductor in general is that you can use that as, like I said, kind of like a webhook, in order to hook into the project and be able to, you know, interrupt between the project itself and then what you are doing, in order to, you know, whether that makes an entirely new fork for the project, or if it, you know, or if it just makes it so that you can, you know, not have to necessarily, I guess, totally change all of your software in order to integrate, or, you know, leverage off of that open source project. Two other things within this track is Destination AI, navigating the narrow path between opportunity and risk to the new technology epoch. This is from Colin Eberhardt, from Scott Logic, who was also the head of our TOC. It's no longer the TSC. It's not the Technical Steering Committee. It is the Technical Oversight Committee. Yep, I had to look that up. All right. But I think that is what I understand from the talk is, I think it'll be a great primer that kind of on AI that says, you know, here's where we are. And Colin's really, really good at looking at everything that's out there within a particular space and bringing it into one very manageable and easily understandable talk, you know, whether that is face to face with him or whether that is on an actual talk like this. So, great area to kind of start to look into. And then building on top of that, we'll have a panel with, Peter Smolovics from Morgan Stanley and other speakers as well about, or Zenith project. Now I'm calling it Zenith on the UK side. You got me. On emerging technologies, the spatial computing panel. So we tried to couple these. There's some AI, there's some interoperability, there's some metrics, and there's some identity in this track. On the interoperability side, and FDC3, continuing on that, we have two talks. And these two talks are Navigating FDC3 UX, a call for universal FDC3 UX patterns for an improved interop landscape. And this is Brett Haymaker, who's from Bank of America, and Robert Friend and Pierre New, who are from Symphony, and Courtney Stauffer, who's from Adaptive. Great panel. I said that, FDC3 is on the front end as far as I'm concerned, and, this is a way of really looking at it that way. Plus, we'll have Ajay Mehta from JPMorgan Chase talking about unifying the user experience. And again, this is in reference to FDC3 as well. So we have a couple of other tracks as well, and I'm going to save those for another time, first of all, because this has become a 40-minute podcast, not intended, and thank you if you're still here. But second, we have sessions from the Open Mainframe Project. Listen, Mainframe is still very, very, it's still a very, very big force and a very big, thing to deal with within, within financial services. There's still mainframe systems out there that it's hard to find developers. It is, to develop there. It is hard to figure out ways to get so much information off of these mainframe systems, if you wanted to at all, and in order to bring them into, quote unquote, more modern systems. The Open Mainframe Project was built to figure out how to, work through a lot of these problems in an open source way. And we do have talks around open source mainframe. What I'd like to do instead of me talking about it is, have John Murtick or some of the other folks within Open Mainframe come on and talk about it. And same thing, we have also FinOps. The FinOps Foundation will be doing a set of six talks as well, and those will all be on the website soon. We will announce that soon. I'd love for the FinOps folks to come in and talk with us. And again, FinOps, I get it. We were introduced to the Linux Foundation at the exact same time, and we have great jokes about how we get confused all the time with who we are. Finally, back to the front end side, we will be announcing it soon, but you heard it here first. OpenJS will have talks as well at this conference. Robin Ginn, who is the executive director there, would love to have her on to talk through the talks that they have coming through. And I know that some of them are on Node and NPM, and Electron is the ones that I know of right now. So looking forward to that, looking forward to talking to all those folks, and looking forward to bringing that to you. So I hope that's been informative as to what has happened within the foundation recently, what is going to be happening in OSFF soon. And again, we will be having the actual speakers come on over the next couple of months to give you kind of a their view of not only, what their talks will be about, but also, open source and finance in general, and talk to the experts who are doing the things that they do every single day. So with that, I'm going to shut up. And I really appreciate you being here. Get involved with the foundation. If nothing else, if you just want to get involved, send an email to help@finos.org. Say, where do I get started? And we will point you where you need to be. All right, with that, I'm going to say good day, good night, wherever you are, and thank you.